So, good evening everyone and welcome to our August meeting and our second full meeting of council via Skype. You will notice things a wee bit different this evening. Marie and I are trialling a new setup to hopefully get us back to full meetings in terms of actually being present at meetings as opposed to online. So we are here in one of the committee rooms or conference rooms over in Monaghan Road, sitting apart and via this new particular technology. So we'll see how it goes. Please bear with us if we make any type of mistakes this evening, if that's okay. So if we're good to get started. As we're currently in unprecedented times, can I ask for everyone's full cooperation and to adhere to the new guidelines with regards to the conduct of the meeting? Everyone is here to ensure that mobile phones are turned off or switched to silent and the use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. Members of the public should not speak during the meeting and may be temporarily excluded for discussion of in-committee items. Members of the public and press must refrain from using instant messaging facilities during the meeting, and anyone found to be doing so will be given a warning. Failing to adhere to the guidelines for a second time could result in being removed from the meeting. I'd also remind members this time of their obligations under the Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interest that they may have in any item of business before the committee today. If you have such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the meeting by hanging up from the call for the duration of discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. You will then be invited back to join the meeting once discussion on that item has ended. The proceedings of the meeting will be audio and video recorded, except for councils considered and exempt matters. The recording equipment is linked to the microphone system on the computer, so please ensure your microphone is switched on before speaking. And members are also reminded that they're personally responsible for any comments they make at this meeting. Please ensure if you wish to speak on an item that you use the instant message facility to indicate you wish to speak, and I'll bring members in as listed. And just remember, remind members that we need to do a Q, a P or an S. I know we're all pretty well versed with that at this stage. Democratic Services will keep me right and will advise who is next to speak. I would ask that nobody proposes or seconds until such time as questions have been answered. And also to remind members to refrain from making any other comments using the instant message in the event that two councillors propose at the same time. The person proposed first will be taken as a proposer and the person who proposed second will be recorded as the seconder. So hopefully that all makes sense. So if we maybe get into Chairman's remarks. We all got news this morning. Ireland is mourning. Last night, John Hume, a true hero of our country, passed away following a short illness. As chair of this council, I should like to take to offer a few words in memory of this good man, this kind man, and this man of peace. How do you come into words a fitting tribute to the contribution this man has made to the landscape of Ireland? How do you come into words a fitting tribute to this man who stood beside his community through Northern Ireland's most terrifying and dark days and walked proudly beside them as we ushered in together the days of peace? When you see the instantly recognisable face of John, you see our collective history written on his face. You see the very level of love and passion he held for his local city of Derry, for his country, and therein you find the measure of the man. The words that he spoke were never empty, but filled with compassion and decency, and a genuine concern for those he encountered. Much like his beloved wife Pat, who I believe he must also pay tribute to, who I'm sure is very much in all of our prayers tonight. In these days of uncertainty, it could have been easy for some to become a bit jaded about politics in general and politicians specifically. However, there have been those who have stood the test of time and shown us what politics can and should be about. I know that they will look to the example John Hume has set for all of us, whether we be nationalist, unionist or neither. In all of his years, in all his roles, whether as an MLA, an MP, an MEP, a teacher, a father, a teacher, a family man, a friend, his people came first. That, to me, is why I entered politics, to represent the needs of the community. John was a man of the utmost integrity and decency within the political arena, but never unflinching or wavering in his deliberations. John Hume was a man of the people. John Hume was a man for the people. And John Hume was a man with the people. Again, how do you put into words a fitting tribute to the contribution this man has made to the landscape of Ireland? The tribute to John Hume is painted on the hearts and minds of those who are fortunate to know him, to have been served by him, and to have worked alongside him. The tribute to John is found in the peace that we now enjoy and that our children will have the benefit of growing up in. The tribute to John will be found in the reminder that wherever we come from, whatever identity we have, whatever ideas we aspire to, it will only be through peaceful, non-violent dialogue that we achieve true reconciliation. We have so much more that unites us than divides us. If we had the courage John Hume had to speak it out and meet each other with a genuine desire for understanding and mutual respect. All of us who've been touched by his example are that much the better for it, and so all that's left to say is, John Hume, you were, are, and ever will be Ireland's greatest. From the bottom of my heart, from the bottom of all our hearts, thank you, John. I have opened up a virtual book of condolence for people to pass on their sympathies to Pat and the wider Hume family. However, I am happy enough this evening to open up and take remarks following John's passing from the party leaders, as will be recognised in our standing orders. If you wish to do so, you can indicate via instant message. And for all other members, if you want to make comments, I'd really appreciate if you do so via our book of condolences.
Laura, Councillor Taylor's in looking at a question.
Thank you. Sarah, do you want to come on ahead there,
David? Yeah, thank you, Chair. It's just lovely to follow on from your remarks, paying tribute to John Hume. There can be no doubt that John Hume offered a huge contribution to political life in Northern Ireland, and throughout the long, dark decades of the Troubles, he offered a peaceful alternative to the violent republicanism of the IRA, which was on course at that point. And certainly as leader of the SDLP, he helped deliver it along with my former party leader David Trimble, the 1998 Belfast Agreement, which offered a much needed pathway out of the horrendous violence that was inflicted upon Northern Ireland for so long and unfortunately cost so many lives. His efforts were rightly recognised with the award of the Nobel Peace Prize along with David Trimble, and there's no doubt he commanded respect in many places across the world for the role that he played during his long political career, which seen him elected to Stormont, Westminster and the European Parliament. But on behalf of my party, I would like to extend my deepest condolences to his wife Pat, and indeed to his children and grandchildren and extended family circle, and indeed to all my colleagues within the SDLP here tonight. I know that it's a significant loss for your party. He's been an icon for your party for many, many years, and was whilst he hasn't been leader for a considerable period of time, he was always seen as the figurehead within your party, even in recent times. So I offer condolences to each and every one of you on your significant loss, and it's a significant loss for everybody in Northern Ireland today, because he did play a huge role within the political environment in our country, and certainly his loss will be felt by many. Thank you.
David,
Willie Clark. Okay, thanks, Laura. I suppose firstly, I'd like to pass on my condolences to Pat and the family, but also yourself and the SDLP family as well at this very sad time for you, Chairperson. I would say Ireland has lost a leader in politics, a genuine politician who cared for people and their well-being. John Hume took many risks. He had the courage to take real risks for the peace process. Gerry Adams in 1986, at the request of Alec Reid, changed the dynamic in the face of Irish politics and provided an alternative solution to violence. Following the first Hume Adams joint statement, John was the target of abuse from sections of the media, particularly in the South, but other political parties in regards to what he was trying to achieve, which was peace. The offence was talking to other elected reps, but John had the courage to stay with the process that resulted in the Good Friday Agreement and the peace process. He was my own recollection of John Hume. He was a genuine politician. He had a real good understanding of people, the community. He was down to earth. And I think that resonated with the people right across the island of Ireland. And so, as I say, I just again would like to reiterate on behalf of Sinn Féin, party leader, group leader, condolences to Pat and the family and friends and the SDLP family circle. Thanks, Chair.
Thanks very much, Willie. And Billy Walker?
Chair, thank you very much. And following on from previous two councillors, on behalf of the DUP, I want to send my condolences to Pat and the entire Hume family. Also, the SDLP, particularly yourselves and Yuri Moran and Down. Yes, John Hume was a genuine politician. He had the love of this country, this island, if you want to call it, at heart. He was a gentleman who wanted to take the gun out of politics. I think he succeeded in doing that in the Hume-Adams talks. I remember back then when ones within his own party even were up in arms with them talks going on. But he did persevere. He brought us out the far end. While I didn't agree with the Good Friday Agreement in relation to it, he had seen a vision there where he could take the gun out of politics here. And one thing that always stood out with me when I was a young man was when himself, the late Dr. Paisley, and John Hume went to represent us in Europe. They put their political differences aside and worked together as a team to deliver much needed funding all them years ago in their beloved wee province here and that there. And politics didn't get in the way then. They worked together in that. And it is, I think, a sad loss. I know he's been out of politics for a number of years, and he was a major figure, Mr. SDLP, along with the late Jerry Fitton. And I remember watching them on the TV and that, and Seamus Mallon, and that, you know, your party has lost a lot of good politicians lately, so they have, even the late Eddie McGrady. But on behalf of the DUP, we send our condolences to the Hume family and yourselves within the SDLP family at this sad time.
Thanks very much. Billy, Andy, do you want to go down, right? Maybe on mute, Andy?
Yep. No, thank you. Thank you, Chair. And again, like many here, it was with great sadness that we learnt of the passing of John Hume this morning. So, I mean, we want to, the Alliance here, want to really extend our thoughts and prayers to all of you guys in the SDLP, because, you know, it really wasn't, if it wasn't without the hard work and sacrifice of people like John Hume, you know, and we wouldn't live in the renown that we do today. Again, some has been passed on to like the likes of Alec Reid and Ken Newell and people like that that worked with John and others in the background to sort of move it all along. So it's huge, it's enormous contribution to the peace process, the end of violence and determination to deliver a society built on equality for everyone. Will be a lasting legacy. His was certainly a life well lived. And again, yes, again, as a young man, growing up through all that, you know, it was very obvious to me that John Hume was a man that, you know, not only stood for things, but also, quite importantly, stood against things. And that was incredibly important for me to get a political reference point. So, yes, just want to, you know, pass on our condolences to the wider SDLP family and the family of Mr. Hume. So, my condolences. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Andy and Pete.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. You can hear me now?
Yeah, can indeed.
Yeah, and Chair, thanks for your kind words at the start. Really, really nice words on John. And I suppose, just as other speakers have said there, I mean, when we're seeing the tributes coming in internationally, it just shows you, you know, the level of esteem that he has held, not only on this island, but right across the world. On behalf of the SDLP group, I want to offer our sympathies to Pat and the entire Hume family, because John, the passing of John, he was not only a former leader, but a political giant. And it's very, very hard to overstate the importance that John Hume was to this island, to Ireland. Through the most difficult times, John fought for justice, equality and peace, and he was only equipped with ideas. He also had an unwavering determination to bring peace to our streets. Streets that when I was growing up in South Armagh that were being bombed from month to month, and you never thought that the dark clouds would lift. But John persisted, imploring all of us to spill our sweat and not our blood. So he spoke to young people like me growing up in South Armagh at a time when we were crying out for a voice for peace. He knew it was attainable, and every time you heard him speak, he was imploring us all to come with him. He made us believe that we could get there. If I look across our council team, now we have people that walked with John through those dark days, and we have people that have joined the party because of John. And I'm one of those that joined the party because of John, because I believed in his vision and I believed in his principles. We look at peacemakers right across the world, and we always We hold them up on a high level. We need to look closer at home and see that John was on par with those huge peacemakers right across the world. He taught me and everybody in the SDLP to have respect for difference and diversity. And I think that's a message that is really, really important today, as it was in those darkest days. So I want to take this opportunity to thank John for delivering the institutions that we have today. They may not be perfect, but they work. They've brought peace to our streets, and I want to thank John for delivering the peace that we have on our streets and for leaving the blueprint for us all to build upon. And build upon it we must. He's a true son of Ireland, and may he rest in peace.
Thanks very much, Pete, and thank you to everybody for the comments right across the political spectrum. It's very much appreciated, and we'll pass them all on. So if we can move on then, in terms of some other tragedies that we've had over the past number of weeks, the thoughts and prayers of our council are with the family of Richard Weir from Warren Point, who sadly passed away this morning following a car collision last November in Kilcoo. It's absolutely heartbreaking for the family and for the community. I also wish to acknowledge the tragic death of Patricia Werbeck in Drumlane over the weekend in tragic circumstances. We're thinking of the family at this very sad time. And also wish to commend the community response by way of a GoFundMe page to allow Patricia's family to fly here to pay their respects. Also the death of Jennifer Deegan, the wife of Joe, who's our community services manager for the Eastern District. Jennifer died after a short illness, and we're all thinking of Joe, his children and his wider family. And also, I also want to mention Sarah, our head of Democratic Services, who lost her granny, Margaret Walsh, in recent weeks. We're all thinking of you and your family, Sarah, as well. So, in terms of moving on down through Chairman's remarks, I also want to take this opportunity to raise COVID-19. I appreciate that here this evening I'm preaching to the converted in terms of members, but in terms of the wider community, I want to remind people that this virus is still very much among us. We need to still exercise extreme caution when indoors and in situations where we can't socially distance. I encourage people to wear masks, keep our distance, and regularly wash your hands. There remains a notice on all of us to exercise personal responsibility. If we arrive to a cafe, park, or shop and it's too busy, we need to walk on. I know we have a related motion on down the agenda, but again, want to highlight the very serious issue at Chairman's remarks. It must be at the forefront of all that we do for the foreseeable. Also today, on the 3rd of August, I want to remind people that the Dine Out Eat Out scheme was launched today, which is obviously, as people know, 50% off food and non-alcoholic beverages at a variety of businesses right across the district from Monday to Wednesday. So I encourage people to participate and support our hospitality sector whilst ensuring all of what I said above in terms of social distancing, hand washing, etc. Lastly, under Chairman's remarks, we have an emergency motion which relates to Collins Aerospace in Kilkee. You should all be circulated with the wording of this motion. When we get to that point on the agenda, I'll bring Marie in, as it's going to require a vote to suspend standing orders. Now, can I maybe take from people apologies if we have any for this evening?
Chair Councillor Robert Burgess.
Thank you, David. Anybody else?
Thanks, Sir John Traynor.
Thanks, Gareth.
There's an apology from Councillor Rhiann as well.
Okay. Thank you, Sarah. Hopefully that's everybody. Thanks very much.
Sorry, Councillor Roisin McGrew.
Okay, thank you,
Barbara. Yeah. Councillor Sean Doherty's problem with his brother.
Okay, well, thank you. Thank you. That's everybody. Okay, so we move on to declarations of interest.
None from officers, sure.
Okay, and none from members. Okay, perfect. So we can get started actually into the body of the actual meeting itself. If we take the action sheet arising from the council meeting on the 6th of July, if we could maybe go through the accuracy from page 1 to 9, go through page by page. So page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5. Do you want it on page 5, Charlie?
Just when you're finished going through them, I'll come in on the end there. It's just the matters arising.
Yeah, no worries. Thank you. Page 6, page 7, page 8, page 9. Do we have a proposer and seconder for accuracy?
Proposer.
Thank you, Councillor Casey. And a seconder, Councillor McAteer, is that right? Yeah, okay. Then in terms of matters arising, Councillor Casey, do you want to come in there first?
Thanks very much, Chair. It's to do with the dog file issue and the action sheet where officers were to bring forward a couple of reports on one, on how all the councils deal with the issue, and three, we've got the report of the fixed penalty notices standards, and I have to say it was a bit of a disappointment. Do we intend in hiring any more wardens? That's what I'd like to talk to the director about. Intend to hire any more wardens, and can we get the reports on how all our councillors are dealing with the issue? Can we get that report so that we can have a look at it and scrutinise it? Because we're doing something wrong. When you look at that list that we got for a fixed penalty notices, absolute disgrace. Thank you very much, Rob.
Thank you, Charlie. Can we bring in Roland? Roland, are you there?
Yeah, thank you, Chair. The intention is to bring an update to Neighbourhood Services this month on the Enforcement Improvement Plan and also set out the timescales to undertake the work that Councillor Casey had referred to as well. So certainly within the next sort of 4 weeks, we should be making progress on that and bring it back then to hopefully September. But August will be the big month for us when we bring back the Improvement Plan to the committee.
Thank you. Roland, are you content with that, Councillor Casey?
Thank you very much, Laura, yes.
Thank you. Okay, Councillor McAtee here. Are you on mute, Declan?
Yep, sorry, I've run out of screen. It was just on page 2. Can I take it that Conor Madden will bring in a full report on Warren Point Bath then to the ERT committee?
Conor, are you there?
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Yes, well, we will. There's a report to be tabled at next week's ERT committee meeting. Yes.
Okay, which will make a recommendation to take how we go forward. Yes.
It'll look at what discussions we have taken place up to date, and there will be some recommendations within that report on next steps.
Okay. Thank you, Conor. Thank you, Laura.
Thanks, Declan. Thank you, Conor. Then we have Councillor Walker.
Thank you very much. Back to picking up from Charlie in relation to the dog fouling. Yes, I welcome the fact that there will be a paper coming back, because we need to deal with this now. We've had numerous motions brought forward in relation to dog fouling. The last one was Councillor Brown's, and that I hope there's recommendations brought forward to this meeting how we're going to tackle this. Now, I know we look at the figures in relation to it in our district. That's no reflection on our staff. I know in the down end, the old down end, we have one officer out there trying to deal with it. You look at other councils, when you look at the Ards and North Down, they have a raft of officers that's dealing with this. So obviously, when you look at their figures, there's going to be more fixed penalties. So there is. But we need to get to grips with it one way or the other. And there needs to be a paper coming forward with recommendations as to what we're going to do and the way we plan to take this forward. Because I actually was in Donegal there, and I actually took a photograph of the sign there. €3,000 you can be fined up to for letting your dog dirty in the street. Why can we not change our bylaws and our legislation within council to turn round and say, if you're caught, it can be up to, say, £2,000 and that, over across the border. I'm telling you, I even said to Councillor Andrews that when you come down through into Northern Ireland, sometimes I'm ashamed when you see the litter in that land about. You could eat your dinner off the streets down there. So you could, to be quite frank. And it really pains me to say that. So it does. I know Charlie's laughing there, but it pains me to say that.
Do you sit in Neighbourhood Services?
No, but I what do you call it? When that's coming up, I will be escaping into it. And that goes so well. But we need to get to grips with this.
Yeah, okay. Thank you, Billy. Councillor Andrews?
I'm on mute there. Just more or less, I think a lot of the points I was going to raise, I welcome the fact about the review of bylaws and everything, but also in relation, I just think to move on to the briefly on the pavement of cafe provision of outdoor space. As part of that submission, would the council take on board access for people with with disabilities and with blind dogs as well? Will that all be taken on board as well with applications?
Thanks, Terry. I think that is in the actual policy itself in terms of disabilities. And I think that does. Yeah, thanks. Thank you, Councillor Andrews. Councillor Hamlin?
Thank Thanks, Laura. Yeah, I would sort of echo what the other councillors are saying in terms of the bylaws, and I suppose looking at the enforcement figures that have come out, one of the questions I'd want to ask is, I know during COVID-19 there was restrictions to whatever enforcement officers are available. Has that lightened up at all now? Or, because I know that's been used as not an excuse, I don't mean to say that, but you know, they're basically saying that their hands are tied in terms of enforcement. So just ask that question.
Thanks. Maybe just check Rose, you just confirm, is there a paper going to neighbourhood services in August? And maybe then if members want to attend, we can discuss matters there. Would that be appropriate?
Yeah, there is a paper going in August in relation to the Enforcement Improvement Plan, okay. Chair.
Thank you. And are you happy that if we leave it into August meeting, we can look at it all in its entirety?
Yes, no problem. Thanks, Laura.
Thank you. Councillor Sharvin?
Yeah, thank you.
Hi, Laura. It's actually Councillor Enright next.
Oh, sorry. Apologies, Gareth.
All right. Councillor Enright.
Apologies. Cadogan, come on ahead there. Are you on mute, Cadogan?
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, can indeed. Come on ahead.
Yeah, it's just that this issue has been coming up over the 16 years I've been a councillor, every 6 months. And the staff and management have been telling us for many, many years that the legislation isn't fit for purpose, the bylaws are at fault, we don't have enough staff, so on and so forth. I do recall that a year and a half ago, Billy Walker and I brought a motion forward referring directly to the solicitors of other councils. It seems to me if other councils have the bylaws that work, if other councils think the legislation works, if other councils can get fines, then clearly...
I would like to make sure that
the statistics from Ards and North Down are used by way of comparison to our statistics whenever we report them. I think that's a reasonable request because it gets around the difficult...
I think that request is the last council meeting not fully considered. So, folks, if we're happy to move on and obviously not want to talk this issue over, if your question relates to the dog fighting issue, there is a paper going to neighbourhood services, we'll not bring anything else in under that item, if that's okay. Councillor Sharvin, is your query regarding a separate item or is it respect of the dog fighting?
It was in respect of the dog fighting, Chair. I know you're not thinking... Well, I'm not a member of that committee, so as long as I'm invited to attend. But mine is more a relation of the dog filing bins, if that can be included in any approach. But yes, I'm happy to hold off.
Thank you, Gareth. Thank you. Councillor Finnegan, it was regarding dog filing. Can we hold off to neighbourhood services or was something separate? Come on ahead.
No, what's it to do with dog filing? Just picking up on Councillor Andrews there, talking about the... cafe licensing.
Yeah.
Just in the minutes there, I'm going to ask for accuracy. I made the point the last time about people with disabilities and sight loss, and I've been lobbied by constituents in that circumstances. I know you said that it's probably within the papers, but can I get clarity on that? I want accuracy that on the minutes, first of all, that I actually mentioned that in the last meeting, and has it been taken into consideration, and is it a condition when applying for a disabled cafe licence?
Okay, we haven't actually got to the accuracy of the council minutes yet, we're still in the action sheet, so whenever we get to that point then, if you can bring in an update, but maybe Connor, can you confirm in terms of the guidance notes and the applications being sent out for businesses to apply for a cafe payment licence, does it say on those papers that an application wouldn't be approved if somebody with a wheelchair or a pram couldn't get past?
Thanks, Chair. Yes, it's one of the fundamental elements of the assessment process is that there's free unobstructed passage along the pavement and that any pavement cafe provision does not impact on the free passage of pedestrians of all abilities to pass on the pavement without obstruction.
Thank you, Connor. That was my take as well. No, thank you. Okay. And then whenever you probably come to the minutes, you can raise the accuracy there and get that included if it's not included in the minute itself. If that's okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Do we have anybody else? No.
Okay.
Okay. If we move on into item number 4, which is the minutes of the council meeting held on the 6th of July, if we can maybe go through page by page for accuracy. So we start with page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, and 16. So in terms of accuracy, if we have any issues, I'll maybe then go for a proposer and a seconder. Michael Savage proposed for accuracy and seconded by Terry Andrews. Okay. If we then go to matters arising, any matters arising?
Chair, if I can just come in just on the point that Councillor Finnegan raised, just on accuracy. I appreciate Councillor Finnegan's pretty new to council, so she had raised the matter of accuracy, which would be on page 6 of the minutes, and I would just say that if Councillor Andrews and Councillor Savage are content, we will amend the minutes accordingly, as has been suggested previously by Councillor Finnegan.
Yeah, that sounds good. Are you content with anything? Yeah. Okay. Are you happy enough for... Yeah, okay, that's great. Okay, any other matters arising? Okay,
Councillor
Allen.
Yeah,
Ivor.
Councillor Burns. Councillor Burns, you're in first. Okay, apologies. Yeah, please, what item is referred to?
Yeah, it's page 6, and just on the accuracy on the outdoor space on pavement cafe. I think we're confusing two meetings because the previous meeting had those discussions, and this is where we are talking about the occasional license and stuff. So I think we should check the council minutes of the previous meeting where we had the longer discussion on that.
No, I think it might have been this meeting, Pete. I think it was in the last full council meeting. I do remember that being raised at that meeting.
Well, then if it is on the special SPNR meeting, then the whole content of the debate needs to be put into it because it's just 1, 2, 3 in response to a query from Councillor Sharvin. So if we're going to go back on the accuracy of that, I think we should just listen to the audio back and include all the comments on that item in the meeting.
I think, Chair, just for clarity from Councillor Finnegan, my understanding is it's not about the accuracy of the SPNR, the special SPNR, it's the fact that Councillor Finnegan raised it at the last council meeting, so it will be within the minutes of this council meeting relating to.
But I can see Pete's points because last time there was a lengthy discussion at that meeting regarding other items to do with the cafe payment licence. So are you saying, Pete, there, that doesn't reflect the full discussion?
Yep, yep.
And Chair, our minutes don't normally reflect the full discussion, so we can certainly go back and take a look if members are content, and if there's anything of substance, we will add, and I have a conversation with Councillor Finnegan regarding that as well.
Just for clarity on it, if you don't mind me coming in, Chair, I was asking for accuracy because I was very specific that had not been brought up in other council meetings or in relation to the licensing. I had been lobbied by those constituents, and I felt it was very important that that be added in. So that's why I asked for the accuracy on those minutes. Thanks.
Thanks, Stephen. And hopefully then in your accuracy as well, in terms of my response to you that night, was it within the guidance notes? Remember that in terms of the actual application itself, so maybe that all included it and move on. Okay, does anybody else have any other matters arise in terms of the actual council minutes themselves? Who do we have next there? Sarah? Yeah. Councillor Hamlin, is that right?
Councillor Hamlin.
Yes. Una?
Yeah, no issue with the minutes, but just in terms of matters arising, for AHC, I've been contacted by several constituents and swimming clubs about the reopening of the swimming pools.
What page number are you on in terms of council minutes?
Well, is AHC not included in that?
Yeah, what page on the whereabouts is it?
I haven't got it on my screen, Laura, sorry. I'm asking the question, is there moves towards opening up the swimming pools?
Okay,
sure. I just quickly address that. A paper will be going to SPNR regarding that matter this month.
Thanks, okay. Marie. That's all I needed to know. Thank you.
Thanks, Una. Councillor Murray Barrett?
Yeah, page 15. Just with regard to the motion, not emergency motion, that came in, you'll remember we tried to table an amendment to it where we had suggested that it would be more prudent to write to the executive rather than writing to individual ministers, and that was voted down. I wonder, did it make any difference to the, was it to the benefit of the proposer that it went to any of the ministers as opposed to going to the executive? Because in my queries ever since, it was going to end up going to the executive anyway. So I just want to know, did it make a, was there any comeback from it, or was there any correspondence back from the individual ministers?
Right, there, I just clarify, I don't think we have received correspondence just on that in return yet there. Am I right in saying that?
No, any correspondence that we've received on any letters sent from the previous council meeting are tabled tonight, so we haven't received anything back on those yet.
Thanks, Sarah. Okay, Barbara? Okay, so we can tend then to move on. Yeah, we'll propose in seconds. Okay. Yep, so we move on then to the audit committee meeting on the 6th of July. So we've got 12 pages, so we'll go through them one by one for accuracy. So page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, page 8, page 9, page 10, page 11, and page 12. Do we have a proposal and a seconder for accuracy? Proposed by Councillor Byrne, seconded by Councillor Sharvin. Thank you. Any matters arising? Okay, if we're content to move on then, that also includes the annual report. Number 6 in terms of the Extract and Family Committee meeting, we've nothing this month. If we're content then to move on, sorry, if you're open, dropping in and out there, is there an issue? Seems to be.
I'm not sure, it doesn't show that he's dropping in and out, so I'm not sure what issues he's having.
Okay.
It's working for everybody else here, so I'm not sure what's going on.
Okay, thank you, Sarah. Okay. So we move on to the correspondence. We've got items of correspondence number 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. So we're going to maybe take them all together. Is there any matters arising in terms of those items of correspondence? Okay, if we're content then, just for noting, we can maybe move on. Oh, Councillor Savage, did you want to come in there?
It was just in relation to item number 7.
Yep.
Minister. I'd like to acknowledge the detail in the response that the Minister gave to us, and while I fully understand the pressures that he's under at the moment with the COVID response, I am a little disappointed that he hasn't agreed to meet us, given the fact that, you know, the councillors in this area have been fairly supportive of his response to COVID-19, and that we did support the sacrificing of our two ED departments, albeit temporarily, for the provision of the response to COVID-19. And I believe it was an opportunity missed for the Minister to, you know, get a good handle from the people on the ground here as to how important our local ED services are. But look, we'll take them at face value at this stage in the hope that the promises he's making in relation to the reinstating of our ED services will come to light over the coming months, and we watch that very closely. There is one issue just in relation to the response in relation to the future funding of the Northern Ireland Ambulance Service. You'll recall that we did raise the issues at the last meeting, and we had a subsequent meeting with the Chief Executive of the Ambulance Service and sought and got assurances in relation to cover. But it's more looking towards the CRM, or the Clinical Response Model, in relation to where the future lies in relation to the development of the ambulance service in line with the redevelopment and, of the health service, and particularly emergency cover, over the coming months post-COVID and beyond. Initial outline of what that would look like. I would be very keen, as I'm sure other councillors would, to see what progress has been made on that. There currently is a business model being considered, and I would ask that we would maybe write to the Chief Executive of the Ambulance Service and potentially to the Permanent Secretary of the Department of Health to see whenever there are items of information or progress reports in relation to that business model, that they would come to us with those and give us an update at the earliest opportunity, given the fact that we have a hugely rural district here, and we will be highly dependent on ambulance cover to ensure that the emergency departments and the emergency cover in this area meets demand and meets need. So I think that on the back of that, there'll be a request a future meeting when there is progress. I'd certainly put that marker down that we would like to have a meeting as soon as possible when that business model has been progressed, that we're consulted on it, and our people on the ground here from right across the district get sight of what that's likely to look like. And then obviously from the political perspective, we're able to assess the challenges there are in trying to deliver this financially, given the constraints that we're under at the moment. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Salas. That was a proposal, I see. Councillor Byrne, you're in next. Will you second to that? Or are you coming in on something separate? You're muted.
Coming in on something separate, but happy to second Michael's proposal.
Okay, we have to. Yeah, everybody in agreement with that? Yeah, okay. Councillor Byrne, come on in.
Yeah, it's just on item 11, and thankful that the Justice Minister has passed the correspondence on to the Communities Minister, Carolyn Quillen. But just for us as a council to follow up then with DFC ourselves and not have, you know, Naomi as being the in-between with us and the DFC. So following on from the letter that we sent to Naomi, if we could follow up on our officers with Carolyn Quillen on a response.
Thank you. Councillor Murphy.
Yes, thanks, Laura. Mine is in reference to item number 9. It's the letter from the Derry Strabane Council in relation to, in particular, the issue they had with two different health strategies trying to deal with the pandemic and the difficulties that that's created, both on the ground and, you know, within the institutions. And so I definitely think this is something that I would like to support. If you take a look at the cooperation that's going on at the moment, you know, between the Assembly and Leicester House in particular, in relation to the paediatric cardiac services in Dublin, where we have on average around about 140 children per annum leaving the north and getting proper healthcare in Dublin. Which obviously is a more efficient and effective way, you know, of dealing with healthcare with regards to, you know, people living on this island. And it certainly is, it takes an awful lot of stress from the likes of parents and family that's, you know, have to make that journey. At least it's only down the A1 as opposed to having to go across the water. So there is no doubt about it. There is an awful lot of examples where if we have a joint up approach, it means that, you know, healthcare will be more effective, more efficient. And it's certainly something that needs to be addressed. There was too many scary times with regards to the pandemic and people, you know, just doing their own thing. In Scotland, they have an all-Scottish approach, likewise in England and likewise in Wales. In the end of Ireland, at times, we were operating in silos, and that needs to be addressed. Thank you.
And Sir Murphy, could maybe look and see, I see that item that letter at the bottom, the Derry Council asking for a response back. So can I maybe suggest we defer that to the health working groups that we have and formulate a response to go back and take forward from there?
That's dead on with me. Yep, thanks.
Okay, that's great, thank you. Councillor Hannan, you in next?
Yeah, just in relation to item 7, I would echo Councillor Savage's a disappointment that the minister didn't want to meet with us. I think he's missed an opportunity there to hear what, you know, basically what our constituents are saying in this rural community. I'm of no doubt that without the pressure from politicians that we wouldn't have had a date for going back to ED in October. In relation to item 11, I do agree again with Councillor Byrne that we should be writing directly to the Minister for Communities and we shouldn't be relying on the Department of Justice as a go-between.
Thank you, Councillor Hanlon. Councillor McAteer?
Yeah, it was on number 9 with a letter from Derry. You did touch on it there, Siobhan. There's quite a lot of subject matter on that. And again, I would concur with, I want to propose that we would send it to the our health two health committees that act for discussion on some of the items pertinent to whatever the members of that would like to pick up on it, you know, and discuss and bring forward.
Great. Thanks very much, Councillor McAteer. Before I take in Councillor Taylor, can maybe ask members if we could try and just stick to the instant message into the Q, the P and the F, because it is quite confusing to try and follow who's in next if people are commenting on that, if that's okay. So we'll do our best to try and stick to that. I'm not referring to you guys, Sharon, I appreciate people withdrawing their questions, but if we can maybe stick to those letters, that would be really useful in terms of your managing the flow of the meeting. Councillor Taylor, you were in next there.
Yep, sure. Well, it's relating to number 9. Obviously, we've had comments from Declan and on that issue, relating to the support for both Declans, I should say. I believe a lot of it's politically motivated. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think it's about genuine interest about looking after the care of everybody and within both jurisdictions. I think it's more politically related in terms of the constitutional position of Northern Ireland. Listen, there's been close cooperation between the two jurisdictions, and that, will continue, and there's been memorandum of understandings between both governments in terms of how we, work through this crisis. Obviously, if someone supports United Ireland, they will disagree with my viewpoint on that, but certainly I think a lot of it is politically motivated, what we've seen within that correspondence. But we'll have the discussion, obviously, at the working groups, that are going to meet that in due course, but I certainly wouldn't want to be there's to be some viewpoint that somehow this is the general consensus of support of the view of the council, but certainly not something I support. A lot of it was contained in it. No, absolutely no issue with working together. I think that makes sense, but I think there's more political motivation what's behind some of the comments in that correspondence.
Okay, as long as you defer to the health working groups, we'll take it forward then, David, if that's okay. Councillor Owen, you're in next.
I just want to pretty much echo David's points. I appreciate it's going to the Health Committee, so thanks very much, Laura. But yeah, it is definitely coming at this from a political angle rather than a health angle. I've worked in health, as we all know. I'm sure you're sick of me saying it. There has been work that has happened between the north and the south. I can definitely tell you I see that every day in the hospital that I work in. So this is definitely a political thing rather than what's best for the patients. And definitely I don't want to be paying €50 to go and see my GP. But yeah, happy to take it up in the health committee. Thanks very much, Laura, for letting me in.
Thank you, Councillor Mara.
Yeah, look at it just very briefly. It's very disappointing just to hear Councillor Taylor and Councillor Owen going back over the old dogma just about things being politically motivated. Listen, if there's greater collegiality and greater opportunity of working together between the health service north and south, I'm all on for it. But put it on to the health committee for sure. But make sure the views of everyone in this forum here are articulated in that. Thanks a million.
Thank you. And obviously then the health worker will come back to fill the council, so please we can explore it again. Okay, so in terms of, before we move on, I see that item number 8, actually we need the Song Association, we need a proposer and a seconder to actually pay that invoice if possible. So if we could have a proposer and a seconder before we move on, that'd be appreciated. Proposed by Glenn and seconded by Terry. Thank you, folks. Okay, item number 12 is just for noting. We'll move on to item number 13 then, the NILGA, the planning programme for councillors. And just to remind members, that is actually mandatory training for councillors who are on the planning committee. So if all members of the planning committee can contact Democratic Service and confirm that they will be there. And it's also obviously open to other members in the council who want to sort of brush up on their planning knowledge. If you want to just notify Democratic Services as well, that would be very useful. Okay, so if we move on to number 14, the first notice of motion from Councillor Taylor. In line with that orders, David, that will be referred to defer to ERT, but are you happy to read out the motion and notify me who is seconded it, then we can move on, please?
Yeah, thanks, Chair. That the Council supports, where possible, our local producers and businesses within the procurement processes of Newry, Mourne and Down District Council. This will complement the Shop Local initiative supported by various elected representatives and will provide much needed investment for the council area. We have asked that a report on this matter is brought forward as quickly as possible with a view to supporting our local economy, and that will be seconded by Alan Lewis.
Thanks very much, David. Now that's appreciated. I'll go to ERT. If we can move on then to item number 15, which is the notice of motion from Councillor Owen. Catherine, do you want to go ahead and read out your motion there?
Certainly. Thanks very much, Chairperson. that this council supports the need for greater localised information from the Department of Health regarding localised outbreaks of COVID-positive cases in the area. In the wake of the suspected localised outbreak in the Rowallan area, had local representatives access to more specific information, a downturn in footfall and containment of anxiety in non-affected regions may have been prevented. Therefore, the Council calls for the Department of Health to provide DEA-specific information or to provide a helpline for councillors to reduce this from happening to the other areas going forward. So if I just go on, as we know, with misinformation comes rumour and speculation. Unfortunately, on the 7th of July, it was brought to the attention of most Rowallan councillors that there had allegedly been an outbreak of 30-plus positive cases within Crossgar and or Ballinhinch. This was totally unfounded and was created through rumour, speculation and a little bit of help from the various media outlets. After being unsuccessful in getting more specific guidance from the Department of Health and Public Health Authority, other than what was on their dashboard, the local councillors spent hours trying to unravel this web of uncertainty, with local businesses taking a nosedive in footfall due to local fear. Eventually, after many phone calls to residents locally, we were able to confirm that there were indeed 11 cases, but not in the locations being reported from local residents. Had we have been able to get specific information quickly and at least been able to identify those 11 cases of being in Rowallan, we would have been able to allay fears much quicker, preventing businesses from being annihilated wrongly. One of the local hairdressers had 11 appointments cancelled through fear during the first post-lockdown working week. Let me be clear, I am not asking for house numbers or road names, but DEA-specific information would be better than the unhelpfully broad information that we currently have. Today, the dashboard says, which I'm sure we've all seen, the dashboard says that we have 34 new cases in the last 7 days in Newry, Mourne and Down. That is over a third of Northern Ireland's positive cases are in our district. I've seen on posts on Facebook that the Super Value in Newcastle is closing temporarily. That means somewhere between Saintfields and Newry and Cross and Glen, we have 34 cases. Wouldn't it be more helpful to us all if we were to know, is that one cluster to prevent uncertainty and a town potentially wrongfully being caught up in this? In England, they have the information released by trust and then subgrouped by time. This way, towns aren't being unfairly targeted through misinformation and rumour, hampering recovery and economic growth. This is not a criticism directed towards the Department of Health in any way. And as a researcher, I think the Department of Health dashboard is an excellent tool, in many ways better than the one provided by the Department of Health in England. But it is about asking for enhancement, whether that be from the Department of Health or the Public Health Authority, for us all. I am proposing we write to the Department of Health, therefore, before this happens to another DEA and council across NI, and ask that we, as elected representatives for our communities, collectively have some method of gaining more localised information. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Councillor Owen. I understand Councillor Andrews is second that motion. Terry, if you want to come in there.
Thank you very much, Chair. In seconding this motion, as a Rowallan councillor and SALP representative, I am supporting calls on the Department of Health to provide localised information to keep or to help alleviate fears around COVID outbreaks in Newry, Mourne and Down. By doing so, we are supporting calls for the Department of Health to ensure that there is localised information available on the number of positive cases in each area. Last month, the rumoured cluster in the Rowallan area caused huge anxiety to local people and a downturn in footfall to businesses in the area. If councillors and officials in the locality had access to more specific information, we would have been on hand to alleviate fears. The SDLP believes strongly that having this localised information can help to inform people of what steps are being taken by the relevant bodies to deal with what is happening. It is essential that the relevant information is made available to local councillors as a matter of urgency, and that a dedicated helpline should be put in place immediately to do so. Over the last 16 weeks, I'd like to pay tribute to the people who have shown selfless willingness to do whatever is necessary to keep each other safe from the spread of COVID-19, and also our frontline staff and right across the board who have worked tirelessly and long hours standing by people. To sum it up, we need to do our part at local government level to safeguard public health and give people confidence to get into their communities again. And also with the permission of the proposer that this motion be circulated to the other 10 councils in the north. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Thank you, Terry. Councillor Brian, you're in there next.
Thank you, Chair. I'd like to start by adding my support to the motion and thanking the proposer for bringing it, and also thanking her in her role as Chair of the Rowallan DEA for acting at the time at which there was a small localised outbreak in our area, for showing swift leadership in bringing all of the Rowallan DEA councillors together to have a plan of action to respond to this and try and combat some of the false narratives that were being put out there and try and provide as much truth and transparency to the general public as possible, which I think is one of the most important roles councillors can play in these difficult times. It wasn't helped, of course, by the fact that we were ready to put out a joint press statement and were told by someone in the council authority that we couldn't do that, which I think is disappointing and actually discouraging councillors from working together at this important time. I think there's more that the council can be doing to try and encourage us to work together in these very worrying times, because these sort of localised outbreaks are going to be part of the foreseeable future, unfortunately. We've seen that today with what has come out in the Newcastle area, unfortunately. And I think council has a really important proactive role to play here, not just in terms of the substance of the motion. And I was going to raise this under the ERT, but of course there isn't an ERT item on this agenda, because they didn't unfortunately meet in July. But I think the ERT department in particular has a role to play in working in partnership with local businesses to try and improve some of the awareness and messaging. For example, there's been councils in the Greater London area that have worked with local businesses to draw up posters and signs advertising the importance of wearing a mask indoors, and certainly now that that is now mandatory here, I think council could look at doing something like that with local businesses, possibly advertising the COVID tracker app as well, which I am worried there is not a great deal of take-up in the local area. I've also been quite concerned that despite generally, you know, businesses and people respecting social distancing and so on, we're seeing a very low number of people wearing masks, so I don't think that messaging has really gotten through. So I would ask, perhaps it's one for Connor, to maybe bring a paper to ERT to see what council can do to work with local businesses right across the district to try and raise that awareness and improve our messaging as a council to try and help businesses keep people safe. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Patrick. Councillor Hoyle.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Again, I would be happy to support the motion, and thanks to Councillor Owen for bringing it. Wondering would you accept a small amendment to it to include the Department of Health and the PHA to provide specific DEA information. It's the PHA who deliver the guidance to the groups, you know what I mean, that are affected, or the individuals and to premises who have been affected by COVID. I think this would be beneficial, you know, to get them to include this. I know in my own area here in Slieve Croob, in the past 4 or 5 days there has been quite a few suspected outbreaks of, you know, different clubs, retail, hospitality sector and stuff, and we've been getting a lot of calls regarding issues such as the track and trace system, the tests and whatever, and I just feel that sometimes the websites whatever are very hard to navigate, and it would be very useful for us to have this information that we could get it out, I suppose, as well to our constituents, and again prevent something similar to what happened in Rowallan happening in other DEAs.
Thank you, Roisin. Catherine, before we move on, would you be content to accept that amendment of the PHA?
Absolutely. In all fairness, Roisin, being totally honest, I did actually mean to put PHA in anyway as well in the first instance. So sorry, my very first motion properly brought to full council. So yeah, absolutely, 100% Roisin. I'm more than happy to accept Terry's proposal as well. So anything that can help and can beef up this common fight that we have, yeah, 100%, no problem. Thank you.
Thanks, Kat. I'll bring you at the end of some as well. Let's move on. There's a few more speakers looking in, if that's okay. Councillor Hanlon?
Thanks, Chair. I suppose not to rehearse what the other councillors have said, but like, we do have to be cognizant that we are going to have spikes as we go forward. And I suppose from the point of view, I mean, today, you know, I was inundated with questions, as you see, social media posts that say shops are affected, etc. So automatically, especially in bigger shops, that, you know, anybody who's been through that shop is going to think, oh my God, I have COVID. But I have to say, I'm really disappointed in the information and that comes out from the PHA. in terms of, you know, if somebody is genuinely worried, they're basically being told, unless you have symptoms, just go home and wait and see what happens. And that's not simply good enough for our constituents. So I definitely think Catherine's on the right track with her motion in terms of, you know, getting more detail into the DEA. My only worry would be that it may have a knock-on effect in terms of, say, for example, what happened in Rowellan. So we're isolating it into a certain area and saying there's 11 people, and that may put people off going into the area. So I would just, you know, I would like it to be a balanced approach towards it, because although, yes, there's 34 new cases, it doesn't necessarily mean they're all in the one place. So, you know, and even if they are, I think as we saw in Rowellan, I think it turned out that it was potentially between one and two families. So I know even in my own house, there's five of us, so it doesn't take much to sort of make it look worse than what it is, you know. So, you know, I do think that, you know, there needs to be better and clearer guidance, and it shouldn't just be, oh, if you have a symptom, we'll allow you to get tested. If somebody has a genuine concern, in my book, that they have been near somebody who has tested positive for COVID and they've been in that vicinity, they should be offered a test if they want it. If nothing else, just to give themselves peace of mind, and that they're not having to take off work or isolate or ring their employer. You know, it's going to create so many problems going down the line in terms of economy. So I just think there needs to be more thought going into, you know, how we're dealing with spikes going forward.
Okay, thanks very much.
Yeah, thanks. And Calvin, yeah, I welcome your motion. I think it's a great idea. It's along the right tracks. And we've already, of course, we've got the DEA fora up and running on that, and we've got the systems in place that this could really kick off. It should be. Just like, say, for example, we went with the food parcels, and as it developed on, we were able to break it down into DEA, and we're able to break it down even finer into villages within the DEA. And when I was reading through your motion, I was thinking, you know, we have the capability to do this. I'm thinking about the response of the GEA in South Armagh in the past couple of weeks as well, where Killeavy, where there's a couple of outbreaks in Killeavy due to one of the guys working on a building site in Dublin. And when he came up, felt unwell, was tested by the football club. The football club knocked themselves out of football. They didn't play. They closed the building. They shut down all the underage teams. And that was really proactive. But there was no word of it out of the council. There was no word of it at local government level. You know, it was these things were just exploding all over the place, and there was no cohesion with it. So what Kelvin's proposing here in this motion would probably tie everything together and give us all a better understanding of where it's at, what we need to be doing, and what we can get out to the public. So well done, Kelvin. Yeah, I'm happy to support it.
Thank you. Barra, Councillor Taylor, you were in after Councillor O'Meara. Come on ahead and I give it.
Well, hello, Laura. It was on my screen. I was in before, and I just didn't want to miss. But you know, it might have went in at the same time. But it's not an issue. Don't worry about it. Just wanted to make sure.
Go ahead. Don't worry.
Well, listen. Just to say, it's our party. We'll be supporting the motion as well. I think it's, you know, there's a lot of merit in it, and I think any additional information that can be provided by the Department of Health or indeed the Public Health Agency, that should be provided to local areas. To provide that sort of reassurance that's needed, and even to address concerns that we have seen, for instance, in Rowellan. And I know, talking to Robert Burgess during that period, there was a lot of concern in the area locally about what was happening at that time, and the fact that there wasn't a great deal of information, and that it allowed, you know, maybe people's concerns to maybe have been more exasperated than they should have been if additional information could have been provided. So, you know, anything we can do to address that, it should be, you know, they should try and alleviate that. But I would also say, it has been mentioned, it's not in the motion, but we have that contact tracing app as well, and it has been mentioned about uptake on that. And I think when there is, you know, initiatives like this by departments, we should encourage people as elected representatives to try and, you know, sign up to those type of things, because they're going to be, you know, helpful as well in fighting this, you know, pandemic. And anything that we can do as a council to encourage people to sign up to that, and indeed to wear masks, because it was mentioned by Paddy there about the number of people wearing masks. I have to say, I was in shops at the weekend, and I had my own mask on. I was very concerned about the numbers of people that weren't wearing them. But I would say maybe around 20% of people were wearing masks, and then that's probably a high end expectation of that, rather than, you know, maybe an accurate one. So it is concerning that we're only a couple of weeks maybe away from possible enforcement of that, and people aren't maybe reacting in the way that they should to it. So, but certainly we support the motion on the amendments that have been suggested, and I'm sure that's going to be concurred by everybody in the chamber tonight.
Thank you. The message, the app is the one thing that I was planning on raising as well. Thanks for pointing that out. And Councillor Clark, you're in next.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. And Catherine, thanks for the motion and Roisin's amendment. Very timely. I think as long as the same lines as Councillor Hanlon was saying, much of the information we're getting appears on social media, and you know it's not accurate. A lot of the information is causing a lot of fear, you know, a lot of confusion in the community, particularly in relation to the recent outbreaks that we've seen with the supermarket in Newcastle, which has caused a great bit of alarm. I was through that supermarket yesterday myself, so I can understand. I was talking to a number of older citizens, and that would have been in the store as well. So, you know, so there's confusion out there, and I agree with the comments in regards to people need a test. They should be getting a test immediately in regards to that, because there would have been the footfall would have been thousands through that store, you know, and the staff in the store. There's concerns in the households as well. Obviously, the staff who are having now to isolate for 14 days, you know, so it's causing a lot of fear in the community. So speaking to some members of staff, they had said, I don't want to focus on just one business, but they had, the person had been had symptoms and had been tested last week, you know, so there was a serious delay in regards to informing the rest of the staff and ensuring that the premises was cleaned down, maybe a lot quicker, is what some staff are saying. But in regards to even our health and safety, our environmental health people, I think there has to be a continual inspection of premises in regards to, I think on a number of cases, we're beginning to slip into old ways where there's not the same focus that there was in regards to, you know, the sanitation and the washing of hands, the social distance. People are coming a bit more relaxed. So I think we need a focus as a community that we do best practice in regards to that. Talking to businesses as well, the majority are doing everything they really can do to make the, you know, their staff safe. But there's also a fear, as I say, that some businesses are doing it better than others. And that's what I'm sort of saying. Our environmental health have to ensure the best practices being observed right across the board. I know a number of public houses who are doing, you know, in restaurants, who are taking temperatures, taking phone numbers, they're taking names. And this increases the confidence in the community and protects the community, but also protects the staff. But there doesn't appear to be that consistency, and that's where I have a fear in moving forward. So there's been large volumes of traffic and visitors coming into the Newcastle area, and there will be spikes. There's no doubt about this. There will be spikes, and I just think we have to sink the message in. I think what the motion's trying to do, we need to sink that information, and even work with council, the health department, work with council and get accurate information out quicker. I don't believe we're getting that information out quicker. So I think that we need to do that and ensure that, as I say, best practice has been observed. We also need to ensure the police are continuing to have a presence on our main streets and around our main shops and our public houses. You know, that has to happen continuously. Because if you look in the south, everything has been scrutinised in a greater manner. They're coming in, they're asking for receipts of meals. They're coming in and asking, has social distance been practiced and has all the details been coordinated? So it's just a message for everybody that, you know, we need to ensure that we keep our game at a high level in regards to it. But sorting the motion, thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
Willie,
Councillor Lewis.
Thanks, Chair. Yes, I would just like to thank Councillor Owens for bringing this motion and for the work that she has done with the health service and the stuff that she shares through her social media is very informative to people. So she's using her experience both on health and council, just to make sure that the word's out there. Secondly, yes, I would also like to support this motion. Now, on the day that we did get the news about the outbreak in Crossgar, I must say that even I, as a sleeve crew councillor, was getting calls from certain outlets to ask what's happened, and our local press has always been very good and very responsible in not hyping things up, but there was certain TV outlets rushed down to Crossgar and done live shots from the street and basically hyped the whole thing up. And what we need to be very, very careful of is that there is people out there who's trying to run bars and cafes and restaurants and shops that are struggling, and they're fighting extremely hard at the moment to keep the doors open. And if there's any extra information that the public health agency or the department can give us as councillors, just to allay that fear, to keep down the public panic and public worry about what's happening, that will be very, very useful, not just to allay that public fear, but also to put confidence into local towns and to the local area that the shops and the restaurants can keep trading, they can keep the doors open, and that a small outbreak doesn't manifest into this rumour. So, yes, I would just like to and welcome this motion.
Thank you, Alan.
Councillor McAteer? Yes, thank you, Chair. Yeah, and I certainly agree with the notion of the motion. But I do see serious problems in trying to actually, the Department of Health and PHA, trying to actually satisfy us in terms of providing us this information, because we all know, I mean, you've got one or two cases sporadically, and then it could take a week or more for that actually to develop, you know, into any what we call a spike or even rumour of a spike. So, and I would be puzzled as to know, will the Department of Health be able to recognise the DEA boundaries? I do like the idea, certainly, of a helpline for councillors, you know, that we can maybe get on top of if rumour breaks out, then we would be able to actually get rapid information. But I think the whole thing about this here will be difficult as around the timing of the information coming out from them before they, you know, you've got to be 2 weeks down the line before they really discover that there was anything, and next thing the whole thing is taken off on social media, which at this moment in time is very, very dangerous, really. And we're going to be living with this probably for the next 12 to 18 months at the very least. So, you know, we need to get something into place that actually is reliable, and that we can actually stand over ourselves. But I've no problem with the motion, but I can just see it fraught with difficulties for those that are trying to attempt to provide us with information, us having asked for it through a motion. Thank you.
Thank you, Declan. Catherine, maybe hand back to you to sum up. That all sounds very positive in terms of your motion, if you want to sum up.
Yeah, thanks very much, Chairwoman. Listen, thanks very much to every one of you for your support. It was about making sure that as representatives for our community, that we can very much sort of get on top of this quite quickly. And just to touch on Dick there, you know, if you don't ask, you don't get. And that's pretty much, you know, we're coming to the Department of Health and the Public Health Authority as one collective voice and one collective council, and saying that we want to do the very best by our constituents and make sure that we have as much information as possible. Now, with that information, there comes responsibility as well, and it is the point. It is us as responsible representatives to make sure that we handle that information in a very careful manner, and to make sure that we do good with that information rather than doing any harm. But you know, we're all sensible and a good head on our shoulders, and we'll be able to do that. you've got to look at it in the sense of being able to make sure that we are doing good, and we will be able to do good if we are fortunate enough to be able to get more specific information as these spikes continue to occur until we get a vaccine. So listen, I just wanted to say thank you to everybody, and thank you especially to Laura as well, because you know, she didn't kick this to health, so we were able to get this discussed. Time is of the essence, and I genuinely don't think there's a better timing motion, you know, with those 34 cases today. So just wanted to say thank you very much to everybody for getting behind me on this. Thank you.
Thank you, Catherine and Terry, for your contributions. I'm thinking that it sounds that everyone is in agreement with the motion, and I think it carries, unless really is it. Yep, okay. So if we're content then to move on to our emergency motion, what I'm going to do at this point is bring in Marie, because obviously we're for suspension of standing orders in terms of the actual procedure. Marie, do you want to come in at this stage?
Yes, Chair. So the emergency motion was emailed to all councillors earlier today. To enable it to be heard, we have to stand down standing order 16.11, and that requires a qualified majority vote, which is 80% of the members present and voting. So if we could have a proposer and seconder to have that vote, and then Sarah will do a recorded vote.
Okay, proposed by Jeff and seconded by Willie Clark. Yep, thank you, folks. And then hand over to you, Sarah.
Yeah, no problem. I'm just going to share my screen as well so we can see. Okay. Councillor Andrews?
Yes.
Councillor Brown?
Yes.
Councillor Byrne?
Four.
Mr. Casey? Four. Councillor Casey?
Four, I said.
Councillor Clark?
Four.
Councillor Kern?
Four.
Councillor Devlin?
Four.
Councillor Dorn is absent. Councillor Enright is absent. Councillor Finnegan? Sorry, Councillor Finnegan?
Sorry, can you hear me there, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, four.
Councillor Gallagher is absent. Councillor Gibbons?
Councillor Gibbons is absent.
Oh, sorry, okay. Councillor Hanlon?
Four.
Councillor Hannah?
Four.
Councillor Hart?
Four.
Councillor Howell?
Four.
Councillor Larkin?
Four.
Lewis. I don't know if Councillor Lewis has come back. Oh, yeah, he has, sorry.
Four.
Councillor McGuinness?
Four.
Councillor Malone?
Four.
Councillor Mason?
Four.
Yeah. Councillor McAteer?
Four.
Councillor McKee?
Four.
Councillor McKevitt?
Four.
Councillor McMurray?
Four.
Councillor Mulberry is absent. Councillor Murphy?
Four.
Councillor O'Hare?
Four.
Councillor Murray?
Four.
Councillor Owen?
Four.
Councillor Riley?
Four.
Councillor Wan is absent. Councillor Savage? Sharvin?
Four.
Councillor Stokes?
Four.
Councillor Taylor?
Four.
Councillor Tilley?
Four.
Councillor Trainer is absent. And Councillor Walker?
Four.
Okay, so that's 33-4 and none against. No abstentions.
Okay, Chair, so then can I just say that on the proposal, just come back to the proposal with Councillor Clark and Councillor McKevitt, or sorry, apologies, Councillor Taylor and Councillor Clark, then that we are suspending standing orders 16.1 at this point in the meeting to allow the tabling of the emergency motion due to the urgency of the issue and importance to the district, and that it has been put to a vote by a recorded vote by the Chair, so we can proceed with the motion.
Okay.
Thank you, Marie. Can I maybe ask Karen, do you want to read the motion out, please?
Yeah, thank you, Chair. This council acknowledges the devastating impact of job losses at Collins Earth Base Kilkeel, recognises the need to help employees, their families and local economy at this very difficult time. This council will write to the Northern Ireland Executive, the UK Government, urge the Chancellor of the Exchequer to address the serious impact of COVID-19 on the aviation sector and work with the Northern Ireland Executive to rebuild the sector. Chairperson, can I thank you and all the parties for their support in the motion and for allowing this to be heard this evening. Collins Aerospace Kilkeel currently employs 948 people. The company manufactures seats for some of the biggest airlines around the world. In fact, it put Kilkeel on the map for all the right reasons. Given stability to so many families as a great company to work for, one big happy family unit, creating a string of local economies for workers and small businesses across our district, and creating a first-class service. Before COVID hit, this company was seeing growth. Like so many others, their business plan was falling into place for not only this year, but for the next few years also. With their order books looking very healthy, things were really looking positive. Aerospace has played a major role in the economy and supporting not just every type of local business through wages earned, but also in taxes for the government. The difficult decision to go down the road of redundancies has shocked the workers to the core and has taken the wind out of their sails. With the order books reduced by 40% this year and 40% next year, employees were expecting some job losses in the current climate, but not 235. But in true Muir Mhòirn council style, the employees, district style, the employees have asked the questions about salary cuts, job share, reducing to a four-day week, etc., to try and soften this impact and to keep their jobs. Collins Aerospace are firstly inviting applications for voluntary redundancies to try and reduce the need for compulsory redundancies. Meetings will also take place in the coming weeks to try and reduce the number of redundancies proposed. It is very worrying to read that these redundancies will cost our local economy £10 million per year. So the question has to be asked, so what now? We now have less than 90 days to help save these jobs. The 20th of October 2020 ends the consultation between management unions and staff reps. We now have less than 90 days to get our act together. Less than 90 days to do all we can to help save these jobs, and the SCLP will be standing beside the employees and the management. We will continue to look for solutions and to keep pushing the Northern Ireland Executive, etc., for support. The short window time frame we have to get this right is my reasoning for submitting this motion as an emergency motion to the Council this evening. Less than 90 days for our government to come up with a strategy to safeguard jobs and the skills that are in the aerospace sector. We don't need nor want a stick and plaster approach. Made up of patchy initiatives. We need a proper strategy to future-proof this industry. Stormont ministers need to step up to the mark in terms of support for the aerospace industry. It needs to look at how other countries have reacted to similar problems with a strategy that is seen to be working. We need a scheme in place to save these jobs alongside a training programme to upskill them for the future. We need them to act immediately, to step in and save these jobs and to save the economy. We have our own government now and we'll need them now more than ever. The whole executive needs to put pressure on the UK government in terms of support, the right support that will save these jobs and skills. After speaking to several employees over the past week and more, they are very grateful to us all for the efforts that we're making to help them. Let's not let them down. Can I again thank everyone for the support on this motion? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thanks very much, Karen. I suppose just to point out, this was a joint motion on behalf of the four main parties here in the Council to show sort of across the board the support that we have for the employees in Collins Aerospace. So thank you everybody for that. I see Councillor Murphy that you're in next. Are you content to second the motion and then comment, please?
Yeah,
Yeah, I'll second the motion. And my comment is, yes, I fully agree, obviously, with this motion. I think the pandemic has shown us more than probably before that we just simply can't rely on the free market economy. You know, the state has stepped in. It's the state that has, you know, kept this economy afloat. And that's in all countries throughout the world, you know. So I definitely agree that, you know, both the Assembly and the British Treasury, you know, need to step up to the mark and, you know, look at more radical ways to deal with these issues that, you know, are in front of us at the moment. This obviously affects not just the workers but their families as well, and it will have a negative impact in the local economy, you know. So I really welcome the fact that, you know, people are beginning to recognise that, you know, we just simply can't depend on the neoliberal free market economy approach to things. Without the state, you know, we would have been on our knees, you know. So I very much welcome that approach. Thank you.
Thank you,
Declan.
Councillor Clark.
Thanks, Chair. A few words in regards to the motion. Obviously, Sean couldn't make it. He was going to speak on as well. I just said from the outset, to lose a quarter of the workforce at the aircraft factory is devastating to the Kilkeel area and wider afield. People working in the aircraft factory from many towns, including my own town in Newcastle. So it's a blow to the local economy, as the other speakers have said. Uncertainty for other workers in the factory as well, even moving forward beyond the quarter of the workforce. There's great fear within the workforce of the people who will even remain. The Unite Union, as Karen said, estimating the job losses will cost about $10 million to the local economy. And this is to small businesses in our area, which will have a major impact to them as well, on top of everything else that they have to face. I think it's important that we do have a training programme to upskill. That opportunity for workers has to be provided. The company has, and many of us have been in discussions with the company. They've had a series of mitigation measures. They eliminated the overtime. They froze recruitment. And they accessed the furlough scheme. So as I say, it's uncertainty and it's extremely worrying for a community. We have to do everything we can, and the executive has to help also in anything it can do as well. In regards to voluntary redundancies, we need to ensure every opportunity is made available for the retraining, but also opportunities to avail of business startups, and that's the responsibility of the council. So anything that the council can do also, we need to be at the forefront of doing that. Okay, thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Clark. Councillor
McMurray? Andy, are you next? Yep. Thank you, Chair. Just getting the buttons pressed there. Sorry. Thank you, Chair. And yeah, thank the councillors for bringing this motion. It's a motion of regional significance, and again, I'm sure like many people here, there's probably people quite close to us that are employed in the Kilkeel factory. Mr. Farry, our MP, has joined many others in lobbying the government for a bespoke set of interventions for the aerospace sector, further extension of the job retention scheme or something similar to give longer term protection of workers in their jobs. A package of measures around skills and retraining should be created, with particular attention needs to be paid to the apprentices to allow them to complete their training, and in recognition of their long-term future. And also, emphasis must also be given to the young people who are going to be affected to a greater level as a result of this economic recession. Mr. Murphy is, you know, commented about neoliberalism, etc. And I think, you know, but there's also a strategic decision that also need to be made within this regards how we support a Green New Deal and the encourages and companies to invest with regard to research and development within sustainable futures and in this area. So that's very important to us in the Alliance Party. But, you know, going on as well, we do not feel that the Chancellor has addressed many of the issues, and that there needs to be varying levels of support given to those facing deeper challenges, economic challenges in the short term. And yes, Alliance, through RMP and an executive, will continue to campaign for specific interventions for the aerospace and related sectors. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Clark. Thank you. Andy, Councillor Hannah.
Can you hear me there, Chair?
Yes, Andy, go ahead.
Right. First of all, Chair, I would just like to express my extreme disappointment at this. Although, to be quite honest with you, Chair, it's not unforeseen this, because the aviation industry has been significantly impacted by COVID-19, and that we all know flights have been pretty much grounded for the last 4 months. With these jobs, of course, there's 235 going. I would know quite a number of these people, and I'm sure the other Mourns councillors will be in the same boat as myself. These are very high value jobs, they're well paid jobs. Great working conditions in there, and a great ethic of workmanship in there. They work hard, so they do. This will have a massive impact on the Mourns and South Down, and especially the Mourns area, as this factory has been there some considerable time. I think it's been over 50 years in the Mourns, it has. And just to highlight another thing, just there's maybe possibly two, maybe more members of families actually work in this factory, so there is. I know one family where there's actually four members of the family that actually do work in the factory. So the impact on those households are going to be extremely severe, so they are. And these families will need support. And as the motion says, calls on Westminster and Stormont to do what they can to support. But I suspect that Westminster will have to take the lead in this, because if we don't, if Westminster, the government, don't support aviation in particular, they will lose that high skilled technology. So they will, especially the likes of the speciality that was created in Kilkeel with the aviation seat, are a world leader in it. And the massive history of aviation in Northern Ireland, and especially the Mourns, as I said, 50 years there now, the resources do need to be put into it to support all types of industry like that in the aviation. Collins Aerospace has been one of the success stories in South Down in particular, so it has. It's created a huge amount of jobs, high-value jobs, and I did speak to the senior management, so they did on the Friday when the jobs were announced, and up until COVID-19 hit, they were hoping to create another 150 jobs, so they were. So in this, I believe there that given a chance, this BE Aerospace will bounce back, but it will take time, so well, I could see months and months before, maybe even this time next year, before you see any significant difference. So I'm more than happy for my DUP colleagues to support anything that the council can do, or that Northern Ireland as a whole, and through Stormont, can do to lobby over at Westminster to make progress in supporting this very important industry. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks very much, Glenn.
Councillor Riley. Thanks, Madam Chair. It's very important to remember that there was also 105 agency jobs lost from Collins Aerospace back in June, so it's actually 330 so far. And that is an enormous impact on the economy, not just in Mourne, but throughout Newry, Mourne and Down, and even further afield. It's also a fact that Thomson Aerospace that was originated in Kilkeel but moved to Portadown, there's several hundred people from Mourne actually travel up to Portadown every day. And there are fears over jobs there also. In fact, there has been quite substantial job cuts in the area. So it really is important that the Assembly and the Treasury in London do actually come on board and treat this area as a special case, given the high degree of dependence that we've developed over the years on the aerospace industry. I know it is pretty bleak looking at the present, but the purpose of the furlough scheme was to keep those skilled jobs in place until the economy would pick up, and the aviation industry picks up, and it will pick up through time. It definitely will. There will be a bounce back scenario. So it is important that we retain as many of those high skilled jobs in place for the eventuality of the industry picking up again. So there should be some sort of ring fence specific aid given to areas like Newry, Mourne and Down, other areas like East Belfast and Bombardier and that, because the UK is the second biggest aviation industry in the world, and we need to retain that and make sure that we're capable to fight back whenever conditions improve. But I fully support the motion. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Henry. Councillor McKee.
Thanks, Chair. May I also, on behalf of my Ulster Unionist Party colleagues, categorically support this joint four-party notice of motion regarding the job losses at Collins Aerospace. The Collins Aerospace factory is an extremely important employer in Newry Moreland Down District Council area, but more importantly in Kilkeel. I recall the foundation being laid to the original aircraft furnishing factory back in 1965. There were turbulent times in its infancy, but with the dedication of the management and its employees, it has grown extensively, structurally, being a major asset to our local economy. Aircraft furnishing, BE Aerospace and now Collins Aerospace, has a wide-ranging skill base drawn from all types of tradesmen, fishermen, farmers, mechanical engineers, IT technologies and many others. Every one of these live in a home, own a home, purchase food for their families, pay a mortgage, own a car. Everyone adds to the fabric of our society. In April, 71 agency workers were laid off as part of our cost-cutting exercise. For all those who remain took a 10% wage reduction to help sustain their employment. By the end of October, 235 employees will no longer have a job to support all I have mentioned previously. Firstly, I have a call on the factory management and the union to give major consideration to the many husband and wife teams who are both employed and receive their income from the same employer. I would expect our Northern Ireland executive to have a strategy going forward how they will deal with the unemployed in terms of training and seeking work, particularly in this period of the COVID pandemic. As regards the wider UK aviation industry, I have a call on our Northern Ireland MPs to lobby Westminster and its ministers for a government assistance package to support our aerospace industry, for them to continue with all the important skill base. Being at the forefront of the world's most technological advances in producing aerospace products. As with every producer and manufacturer, there is a supplier. Collins Aerospace is reliant on global, European and local suppliers, where there's a vast number of employees in the various sectors. We do not want to see them fall victim as a knock-on from these redundancies. As a result of the recent redundancies, we trust Collins Aerospace will remain in a sustainable position to restore its future in the aviation industry within Kilkeel. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thanks very much, Councillor McKee. I think that's all the speakers. So before we hand back for some summing up, as Chair, I want to echo what has been said and hope that maybe the powerful nature of the cross-party motion is of some assistance and what is a really worrying time for the employees, the community and our local economy. So can we hand back? Who's summing up? Is Karen, are you summing up or is somebody else summing up?
No, I'd gladly sum up if there's nobody else want to speak. Just again to reiterate the thanks for each and every one of the councillors that have come in and submitted this motion with myself, and that, you know, action speaks louder than words, and let's hope that within the time frame up to the 20th of October that we could have and should have some positive news for those that are facing their job losses. But in the meantime, I'd have to say, isn't it great that our whole council is thinking of the workers and their families at this time. So thank you, Chairperson, again for letting this be heard.
Thank you, Karen, and to the group leaders for the motion and for the statements. I think that brings us to the close of the meeting. And maybe just before I also have an apology from Councillor Gallagher from the start of the meeting that I forgot to relay, so we can get that recorded as well. So thank you to members for this evening and take care.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.